Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political news and analysis without the corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day. Thousands marched to the Texas Capitol, and much media coverage told you it was to protect voting rights, as if they were in trouble. Well, that's not true. It's not what it was about. Even the sign on the lectern made clear this was just another general leftist Democrat political stunt. That's it. And some interesting testimony from State Representative Sinfronia Thompson. She's one of the AWOL Dems in D.C. Testimony at a D.C. committee demonstrated some things far deeper, something far deeper than the silliness of arguing over voter ID. A lot of the national media picked up the comments on voter ID, or a few did. They didn't really focus on what came next, which was the most important and relates to that big march on the Capitol and Willie Nelson and everybody acting like somebody's out there trying to take people's voting rights away. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT, that's Department of Transportation, business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. If you got a trucking company, you got to have all that clearinghouse thing set up and the driver inquiries, all the records, they'll help you with that. They do great work with it and can make your life a lot easier and make sure you're in compliance. AlliedCompliance.com. Sadly, we've got a bunch of Wu flu masks and the mess of it all news. We've got a lot of border news. Not sure how much of it we'll get to today. We'll get to some. Probably have more tomorrow. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. That's right. You can listen anytime. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Let me remind you, August 28th is the date this year of the Lubbock Sportsman's Club Hunter's Banquet and Auction. It's one of the better of these type events in the country, one of the best auction catalogs, and it'll be a lot of fun. You got a chance to win tickets to sit at my table at that event. And you can get tickets, by the way, for yourself. They're $100 a pop at LubbockSportsman.com. Anyway, if you want a chance to win tickets to sit with us at the Pratt on Texas table, just visit PrattOnTexas.com. You'll see it up there in the main little area. It says, enter here for a chance to win tickets to the 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction at the Pratt on Texas table. Just go get that done now, my friends. Today in Texas history, this was a big day. Way back in 1832, so you're talking a bit before the Revolution, several years, but it's the day that the Mexicans sent a commander to go to Nacogdoches, the big towns over in East Texas, and seize people's firearms and stuff. And August 2nd, the locals said no. They made their own militia. They elected Bullock to be in charge, James Bullock. And on the morning of August 2nd, in 1832, Bullock demanded that Piedras, the Mexican commander, rescind his order and declare for Antonio López de Santa Anna and against the centralist Mexican government. Now, I know a lot of you said, wait a minute, Santa Anna was... Yeah, see, he was a big liar. He started out as a constitutionalist and then switched to the centralist side when he took control. Anyway, the Mexican commander refused. Bullock's men entered the town, the old stone fort. The end result of this was the Battle of Nacogdoches. Piedras lost 47 men killed and 40 or more wounded. Three Texans were killed. A fourth later died and only four were wounded, and they hightailed it out of there. So this was the beginning of how the new Mexican Republic had essentially lost control of the far-flung edges of the country. It's also the day in 1882 that Judge Roy Bean was appointed JP in Pecos County, law west of the Pecos. 1946, a meteorite plunged into a swimming pool on the Gage Ranch in Brewster County. And in 1985, do you remember it? Let me get Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Delta. Remember the term? Now we have so much more technology for it. Wind shear. Remember that? 137 people died when that jet, that Delta jet, was just coming in down for a landing. And then wind shear hit it, and that was it. Terrible thing. Texas history, our look at it, sponsored by USA Investigations. Professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. By the way, if you're ever in Nacogdoches, you got to go, you know, downtown, the beautiful old stone fort and all that area. Go read up on a lot of that early stuff in Texas history. Nacogdoches, I guess, Texas' oldest town. Now, my friends, there were all kinds of media articles of the Weekend Cruise and the other people. I don't know who Jacqueline Powell is or Russell Falcone, but they're both leftist morons or just ignoramuses who wrote a story that a lot of the TV stations in the same company picked up, the Austin equivalent, KXAN. Thousands marched to Texas Capitol in protest of GOP elections bills. Okay, well, that's what the Poor People's Campaign and Black Voters Matter and Powered by the People and Beto Pancho O'Rourke said that it was about. They marched 27 miles in observance of the distance from Selma to Montgomery during the historic Civil Rights era marches, which, of course, was when the Democrats controlled the South and actually did do things to keep black people from living as equal human beings and having equal rights under law. Republicans were the ones fighting that. And they said in this story, worried that these people were worried about voter suppression. Well, have any of them read any of the bills? No, they just hear what these other people tell them. They're useful idiots. Now, here's a paragraph from this KXAN disaster. I mean, it is a slanted piece where the reporters themselves clearly don't know what's going on. If passed, the elections bill would limit early voting hours. Excuse me, early voting hours are already limited. This bill actually expands early voting hours. They're already limited. Only Harris County just decided they would ignore what everybody thought was the rule and have 24-hour voting. One time, last election. Next phrase, ban drive-through and mail-in ballot drop boxes, both of which we never have had before. No other county had it. Nobody had it. Harris County invented that. Among other major changes. See, that's suggestive. Senate Bill 1 would also allow partisan poll watchers to record voters who get help filling out ballots. No, that was taken out, best out my understanding, the being able to do video recording. And make it a crime for local election officials to encourage voting by mail. Now, that's not true at all. And make it a crime for them to go around and say, hey, you ought to vote early by mail if you're eligible. It's just that they're not going to be allowed to break the law again. We already had a law that defined who could vote early. And they went around and broke that law and tried to encourage everybody to claim that they had the exemption or whatever that allows you to vote by mail. So this was just, you know, they call it polarizing legislation. Just typical stuff. I mean, it's an awful story by those two reporters at KXAN, and it was run by all over the state media, slanted as hell. These people pay no attention. You don't need, I mean, come on, reporters. I know a lot of you are just ignoramuses or little Democrat, little left-wing activists. That's why you're there. Most of you, it's because you thought you looked good on camera and you wanted to be somebody. And I know because I've known many of these people, known them very well, but nevertheless... are you so blind? You're not journalists. You have no questioning whatsoever. The lectern that Beto Pancho and all the rest of these morons spoke behind had a big banner on the front of it, and it listed their demands in front of the Capitol, and it said www.poorpeoplescampaign.org, and then we demand in giant letters, one, end the filibuster. Well, that's a DC thing. Two, pass all provisions of the For the People Act. Three, fully restore the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Four, raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Five, permanent protections, dignity, and respect for all 11 million undocumented immigrants, meaning illegal aliens. Now, you tell me this rally was about voter suppression or making it harder to vote, which the bills don't do. If that's what it's about, why is... Two of the five items listed on there, nothing to do with any of that. And that's the point. But the media, no curiosity there, or they're not smart enough to notice. It's just another big leftist political rally. Back in a moment, my friends.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. All the media told you that the big Willie Nelson Beto Poncho rally and march to the state capitol over the weekend was about voter suppression and voting rights. And yet, their own placard, their own banner that was on the lectern of the event, 40% of the items on their list of demands have absolutely zero, in no way whatsoever, to do with voting rights. All these people are just useful idiots. They let these leftist communist organizations just lead them along with a leash. What was it? I was in the Old Testament. Was it Manasseh that followed Hezekiah, king, and he was humbled? And what did the Assyrians do to him when they captured him and took him? They took Jerusalem. They put a nose in his ring and then led him into captivity. Isn't it funny how many people today voluntarily put the nose in the ring, not understanding that that's what it symbolizes anyway? It's what these people are figuratively. It's like they put their own nose ring in and then hook the line to it for these leftist groups. Permanent protections, dignity, and respect for all 11 million or 20 or 25 million illegal aliens in the country, and raising the minimum wage. 40% of their list of demands. That's it. Now, Sinfronia Thompson, who's old because she looks good and speaks pretty well, and she is a nice lady, I think. I think she's a good public servant. I don't agree with her. She's a leftist liberal. But she's a respected member of the state house and someone you can work with. She's not a radical crazy, but she's like all of these people. They live in a world, they live in either a fantasy world that they allow themselves to just stay in, or purposely an intentionally false world. We see this all the time amongst the left. She was questioned by Representative Nancy Mace, a Republican of South Carolina, in a hearing last week in D.C. Now, the Daily Wire and a few others noticed this interview, and they pounced on, of course, voter ID is not the issue. You know, Sinfronia Thompson's one of the AWOL Democrats that's in D.C. because hiding out, they don't want to let the special session work. You know, and Friday's the last day of the special session. Who knows what'll happen? The governor will call another one right away. We don't know. But Sinfronia Thompson, voter ID's not at issue in these Texas laws. But that doesn't matter because it is an issue in all these other states where the left nationally and locally is claiming that it's all about voter suppression. And in Texas, even though the polling originally showed that Democrats across the board supported voter ID, if you remember when we passed that, I covered it in detail. It took them 2 years after we passed that to tamp the numbers down by propagandizing people, because Hispanics were for it, blacks were for it. Democrats, when polled that way, were for it in big numbers. I mean, upwards of 60 to 70%. And that's an issue everywhere. It's not an issue in the current Texas legislation that Thompson and the rest of these AWOL cowards are about. But that's how she began the questioning. And it was good. Nancy Mace gets Texas Democrat who fled state to admit IDs are needed for adult life. I'm going to play that part for you. But I want you to hear what follows. They missed the most important part of this. And this is what, again, shows what an absolute fraud this big march and all this talking and the Willie Nelson and all these leftists were in Austin. They live in a false world. They believe things so strongly, but they've never once looked at the data to find out if it's really true or represents the truth or what the real situation is. In other words, they live in a fantasy world or a false world of their own construction, either purposefully, which a lot of us live in various parts of our lives, or just negligently, which is what makes you stupid. When you remain ignorant about something which you really need to know and you're out talking about, that's just stupidity. Here is the full, it's almost 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 42 seconds of list of South Carolina U.S. Rep. Nancy Mace questioning Texas State Representative Sinfronia Thompson in D.C.
Coming from South Carolina, we've got voter ID. I'm assuming Texas is the same way. Do y'all need IDs to buy alcohol when you're purchasing at the store?
Yes, to be sure that you are capable of doing that.
Right. Do you need an ID in Texas to buy cigarettes?
You can't buy them unless you're at least 21.
But do you have to show an ID to buy cigarettes?
You do have to show an ID.
Do you need an ID when you're getting a job and trying to get on payroll in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID to go to the pharmacy and get a prescription in Texas?
It depends on the prescription.
But do you need an ID for some prescriptions in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID to get Social Security services in Texas?
You do.
Do you need an ID to rent an apartment in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID if you're going to buy a house and finance it via a mortgage in Texas?
Yes.
Do you need an ID in Texas if you're going to board an aircraft and fly commercial?
Yes.
Did you fly commercial or fly a private jet on the way to D.C.?
A chartered plane.
Do you have to show an ID when you fly in a private charter jet?
Yes.
I wouldn't know. I've never flown on one. Did you need an ID to get in the building here today?
Yes.
Do you need an ID in Texas to open a bank account?
Yes.
To cash your check if you're working. Do you know, Representative Thompson, what percentage of blacks in Texas, black and brown African Americans, are registered to vote?
Oh, a huge percentage.
70%. Do you know what percentage of African Americans, black and brown Texans, have voted on average or in the last election?
About 64%.
Correct. Do you know how many whites are registered to vote in Texas?
Far more than African Americans.
72%. You have 70% of blacks in Texas who are registered to vote. You have 72% of whites in Texas who are registered to vote. Do you know the percentage of whites who turned out to vote in recent elections?
I want to say over 50-some percent.
65%.
Yes.
Do you know what percentage of Hispanics are registered to vote in Texas?
No, I do not.
63%. Do you know what percentage of Hispanics voted in the last election?
I think it was over 40%.
53%. Hispanics are not voting in as high a numbers as blacks and whites in Texas. Do you know the percentage of Democrats that support voter ID?
Would you repeat your question?
Do you know the number or percentage of Democrats who support voter ID in this country?
I do not, but I don't think it's a whole lot.
72%. Okay. Do you know the number of black and brown and African Americans in this country who support voter ID?
No.
75%. Do you know the number of Hispanics that support voter ID in this country?
No.
81%. Do you know where the state of Texas is ranked with black voter turnout in this country?
With black voters turnout?
Mm-hmm. Do you know where Texas is ranked?
Oh, 44%.
The latest numbers that I read this morning was that Texas is ranked 10th. Do you know where Texas is ranked? So then top 10 in the country. Do you know where Texas is ranked with women voters?
Oh, way up in the 50s.
In the bottom third of this country. So I would argue that Texas has a more difficult problem with getting women out to vote than black and brown and African Americans. Thank you, and I yield back.
If you want to hear it again, go listen to the podcast after the show's over. The podcast will be up at proudontexas.com. Just sign up, get on our podcast. They'll listen to it several times. What do you note from Representative Thompson, who's supposed to be one of the great, old, strong leaders in the legislature in Texas, and black woman, very respected? She doesn't have a clue what the stats are. She doesn't have a clue what the polling is. She doesn't have a clue about what people really think about these issues. She doesn't know. There's no big voter suppression problem in Texas. I mean, Texas is part of the old South. I live in the part that's more Western, wasn't settled back then, but part of the old South. What are we, number 10 in the country for black voter turnout? Do you hear all the other statistics? What problem? What do you have in a deep South style march for to the Texas Capitol? I'll tell you what, just to fool a bunch of people, inflame them, get them in the streets, and ignore the reality. Back in a moment.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is, while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It's Texas that matters most on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into the Woo Flu stack, excerpted from Fox News interview with Dr. Rand Paul, U.S. Senator from Kentucky, obviously a native Texan. Yes, without question, in a free society, each individual makes their own decision. This is about masking and all that. It's based on your history and your choice. Sometimes I get more than one doctor's opinion. Right now, they're going to go back to masks saying it's the Delta variant. There's one large study out of England, 92,000 patients. Do you know how many people died in the vaccinated wing under age 50? Zero. 52,000 people unvaccinated. How many died? Six. That's less than the flu under age 50. Overage first half, as many people died as were dying last year, or over the first half of the year. The Delta variant, he said, is more transmissible but less deadly. I'm now finding more and more references to this, but again, I still don't see the scientific notations. I'm sure they exist out there, but I look and I don't know that, but they claim, and Dr. Paul says it's more transmissible but far less deadly. I'm seeing that all over, including in the European press. And he said, if you say that on Facebook, they'll take you down and take away your birthday. It's factual. The Delta variant's more transmissible, but far less deadly than the virus from last year. Do you remember when all this broke out and I was reading you some of the non-politicized, top respected science about viruses and outbreaks and how they mutate, all in the very beginning of all this stuff? Do you remember what I told you and read you several pieces on about how the general path that a virus takes is it becomes less and less deadly and oftentimes more communicable? That's why we just can't ever get rid of the common cold. And by the way, coronavirus, several cold strains of the cold are coronaviruses. This is because an agent that kills its host kills itself. It is natural for a virus to diminish in lethality but keep its ability to spread or even increase its ability to spread. That's just the way it works. It's virology. And then on Fox News Channel's Waters World, Waters Word on Waters World, Grabian, who picks up quotes out of these deals, picked up a piece where he said the left is keeping us in permanent pandemic. Oh, and he's right. They make you so scared they can control you. They want to keep us forever in pandemic, and that's what it'll be, folks. I read it down to the... It's not just the people in D.C. I read it in the local press. Their doctors, they don't even seem to know what they're saying about, well, we need to mask, we need to do all these things, and yet nobody stops and says, well, what about the other diseases that have real similar... Are we going to continue this forever? Is our whole life going to be like this? Well, David Hogberg in the Washington Examiner had a very sobering piece just to give you an update on the Delta variant, the India variant that they're scaring you about. This surge has proved much less deadly than previous waves. Number of cases, this was in the Washington Examiner, the number of cases is approaching the levels seen in previous surges. 7-day average of daily cases has risen as high as 66,606, close to the peak of 68,622 seen during the summer surge of last year. Yet hospitalizations have been much lower, and he starts giving the numbers on that. I mean, much lower. Likewise, daily deaths have so far, they're only about a tenth of the peak during the winter. Now, most of this credit, more people being vaccinated, and that's probably true. The death rate, though, actually is still not that giant a death rate. I know people seem to think it is, but it's not. The fact that 57% of the population has gotten at least one dose of the vaccine, that acts as a breaker on a more robust outbreak, said Dr. Georges Benjamin, executive director of the American Public Health Association. Those aged 65 and older have the highest risk of being hospitalized with severe WHO flu symptoms or dying from the disease, but nearly 80% in that age group have been fully vaccinated. Most of the people who would have died in previous surges are largely vaccinated now, said Susan Hassig, an epidemiology professor at Tulane. Those contracting COVID-19 tend to be younger now. This new variant, reports from Florida, one of the epicenters of the surge, show the average age of those hospitalized there is in the mid-40s. People under 50 are less likely to be hospitalized or die from COVID. They are also less likely to be vaccinated. The vast majority of those presently hospitalized are unvaccinated. At present, the U.S. is conducting about 800,000 tests per day, according to Johns Hopkins. During the winter surge of this past winter, this year, the U.S. was conducting 1.5 to 2 million tests a day. The lower rate of testing could mean that many cases of WHO flu are going unreported. Well, but folks, we know from statistics that millions have had COVID and have acquired immunity who were never tested, because over about 80% are unsymptomatic. And above the 80%, a lot of that is light symptomatic symptoms, which means the cases numbers have always been faulty. While the nation as a whole will likely experience a less severe surge this time, specific areas will be hit hard. The current sweep of the Delta virus is having a disproportionate effect in areas with many people who are unvaccinated, said Dr. Jeremy Levin, chairman of Ovid Therapeutics in New York City. Yeah, take a look at the Texas border, folks. Tens of thousands of people per month from the third world are coming across this border, and this is being released all into our communities and actually bust into our communities, taken around and released everywhere. You think that might not have a big part to do with this? Later in the story, it said the U.S. experience with the Delta variant similar to that of the U.K., which has experienced a massive wave this year but has had relatively few deaths. This surge has also retreated rather quickly, with new cases dropping by nearly half in the past week, and that's exactly what we've seen other scientists say a week ago, that you'll have a little tick up. And this is the way it works. You have the bell curve every time. The virus normally becomes far less deadly, as easy or easier to spread. And it's just not that giant a thing. White House bails on coronavirus briefings after public revolts against CDC guidance. Charlie Spearing had that right at Breitbart News. The story doesn't really, it just sort of sets that up. The editorial is the headline, but he's right. White House Friday struggled to explain to reporters. They were all asking. All the mainstream lefty reporters were hammering them. Why it suddenly stopped holding the coronavirus briefings after the CDC issued its latest guidance on masks. NBC was beating them up. CBS was beating them up. Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, defended not having a briefing, noting that Biden spoke to the American people about it for 30 minutes or so. It's like that matters. And remember, when he took office, he promised regular public briefings with federal health officials. The briefing stopped after the CDC announced the new masking guidelines on Tuesday, even for fully vaccinated Americans. Why do you think it stopped? I think the headline had it right. They caved after the public revolted against it all. That Bill Maher, that lefty, but who understands basics, he's got a lot more intellect than most of these lefties, was on his HBO show, Real Time. He said some really good things about all this. He said the new mask guidance, he remarked, now we're back to wearing the mask from the front of the restaurant till the waiter brings the breadsticks. That's called science, people. He said all these rules are just so people can cover their bleeps, their rear ends. The CDC put out new mask guidelines now, which is, it's just also bleeping confusing. Indoors, outdoors, vaccinated, not vaccinated, mask, not mask. The Walmart shoppers don't know who to punch anymore. So now we're back to wearing masks from the front of the restaurant till the waiter brings the breadsticks. It's called science, people. That's right, it's a polite disease. It knows you're eating, so you can talk and eat and gather with everybody and have all that off. And of course, the virus, it goes to the other room. I'm telling you, it goes to the other room and it waits. He says, sometimes I think we have to cover our faces so other people can cover their bleep. Exactly right. And then, of course, the typical do as I say, not as I do, big piece at Breitbart detailing Nancy Pelosi being seen maskless and photographed being maskless over and over after issuing her orders and with the threats of arrest of even members of Congress and the public and everybody. But she's not going for it. Tons of listing. I mean, detail after detail of her not being in the mask. Of course. Where's the root of all this stuff? I want to get to that if time allows. Back in a moment.
Become a member of the family. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club free at PrattOnTexas.com. Members get a direct-to-Pratt email address.
Announcing the Hunter's Banquet and Auction from the Lubbock Sportsman's Club Saturday, August 28th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center. Do you enjoy shooting, hunting, fishing, or travel in the good life? You don't want to miss the 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 28th, featuring good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Presented by People's Bank, this event is among the premier of its type in the country, with the highest quality, most valuable hunts from around the world available, including premium hunts right here at home. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction is huge fun and sells out each year, and tickets are only sold in advance. Get yours now at LubbockSportsman.com. Tickets are limited, so get yours now at LubbockSportsman.com. LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans will have a blast on August 28th in Lubbock for the Hunter's Banquet and Auction.
Standing in spirit with those who won Texas liberty and working to stop the hordes on the left. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I've got a ton of border news. The U.S. filed suit in the Western District of Texas in El Paso to stop Abbott's order about stopping vans and people carrying everybody around who may have COVID, the illegal aliens. And we got in Del Rio a charity that's completely ignored the governor's order and sent Haitians all into the rest of the state over the weekend that's been photographed and reported on. I'm going to hold a lot of that big stack of news until tomorrow, if hopefully no big thing comes up. If not, it'll be another day. But the reason is there's something more important for you. Remember when they were talking about the new mask guidelines and they had this little sample of data out there and it was very, very small and they didn't really want to release it to us and tell us what it was, but that's why they're afraid and they want to go back with the masks? Well, Robert Stacy McCain at the American Spectator, that's R.N. Terrell's good old place, spectator.org, has the definitive truth. And I think this is important enough, you need to know it. Because you need to know what's behind the misrepresentations or half-truths that you get from your government. His headline, and by the way, I do not use this word that means happy. I use the proper word, otherwise you're just doing their bidding. The homosexual festival behind the CDC's new mask guidelines. Kid you not. ABC News published a story on Thursday headline, CDC mask decision followed stunning findings from Cape Cod Beach outbreak. The article by Ann Flaherty and somebody, Ariel Metropolis, explained how more than 800 people, 74% of whom had already been fully vaccinated against Wu Flu, tested positive for the coronavirus in the aftermath of 4th of July celebrations in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Quote, the initial findings of the investigation led by the Massachusetts Department of Health in conjunction with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention seem to have huge implications. The ABC News account said it explained that the Cape Cod outbreak was among the pieces of new evidence behind the CDC's decision to ask Americans to wear masks indoors, even if they're vaccinated. That ABC News article was more than 800 words long, but somehow the reporters never found an opportunity to mention two highly relevant words, bear week, you know, as in a big old growling bear, B-E-A-R, bear week. Provincetown is to homosexual men what Mecca is to Muslims, they write. In the annual week-long gathering of thousands of bears, a term used by homosexual men to describe husky, large man with a lot of body hair, per the Urban Dictionary, who pack into crowded bars immediately follows the 4th of July holiday. So this Cape Cod Beach outbreak, to use the euphemism that ABC News headline used, was atypical to say the least and certainly a poor test case to justify inflicting renewed mandates. It is perhaps unfair to single out ABC News for its deception, lying by omission, about the circumstances that spawned the outbreak in Massachusetts, since nearly all the major media outlets followed the same dishonest narrative. The guy who blew the whistle on this media malpractice was a homosexual rights activist, Peter Staley. In a Twitter thread, he complained that everyone is missing the horny bear in the room and noted that 85% of the patients in Provincetown outbreak were male. There was also a blunt appraisal of the outbreak from columnist Andrew Sullivan, also a homosexual man who actually lives in Provincetown. Is Provincetown our future? Count me skeptical. In 4th of July week, the town was completely swamped this year, followed swiftly by Bear Week. Lines for the bars lasted for blocks. The bars themselves were packed. The weather was dreadful, forcing most of the crowd to pack tightly inside. A tiny town built for a few thousand residents is to absorb up to 40,000 in peak season. One bar in particular, the home for a dance party with the inspired name of, and I'm quoting the writer, Fag Bash, end quote, resembles a kind of dank dungeon where sweat drips on the ceiling and mold reaches up the walls. It might have been designed for viral transmission. A big swath of the crowd had also just come from a week of pride partying in New York City and were likely not, shall we say, in their immunological best. It was a muggy viral heaven and a classic post-plague burst of bacchanalia, end quote. Back to the writer at The Spectator. Those Americans who get their news from ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, etc., have no idea what petri dish of behavior gave rise to this outbreak that inspired CDC to change its guidance. It was really a week-long orgy of anonymous, quote, intimacy, end quote, among thousands. Making the Provincetown Bear Week outbreak the basis of national policy is obviously foolish, but the White House press corps isn't badgering Psaki with questions about this bizarre situation. Meanwhile, the media seem intent on ignoring the fact that the surge of new COVID cases they so breathlessly report hasn't been accompanied by a significant rise in the death toll. It's true the number of new Wu Flu cases, well, he's going to give the stats I've already given you. But you get into this, and the New York Post Friday graphically illustrated the unscientific absurdity of the Delta variant breakthrough infection hype with a front-page chart headlined Insanity. Out of 161 million fully vaccinated Americans, the Post explained, a tiny 5,601 caught breakthrough COVID and were hospitalized. And it goes on, you know, the numbers. I went over those on Friday. If vaccines are effective, why do we need to wear masks? The administration's rhetoric and policies aren't very scientific. Evidence to support the belief that masks prevent the spread of COVID-19, as Dr. Brian Jundeff has recently explained, he says, how effective are the mandated masks? Remember that both Dr. Fauci and U.S. Surgeon General Adams told us last year masks were ineffective at protecting the coronavirus. They were correct based on viral particle size, but somehow the physics of particles and pore size changed during President Trump's last year in office. The COVID virus is 50 to 140 nanometers, while the pore size in standard surgical mask is 300 nanometers to 10,000 nanometers. This is using a chain link fence to stop mosquitoes. I've explained this to you over and over. By advocating a return to mandatory mask wearing, even for those who've been fully vaccinated, the administration's undermining its own case for why people should get a vaccine. Why endure the injection and possible side effects, and those are real for some, if you're going to have to wear a mask anyway? They go into how the Biden administration's made an utter mess of their pandemic messaging, no question. Parents are mad about all this with the schools and everything else. Oh, and then it gets back to the issue of the peace. Using COVID as a pretext for restrictive measures that cannot plausibly be justified in the name of science. Imagine how much angrier these parents might be if they were to discover that the justification for making their kindergartner wear a mask to school involves an orgy of thousands of hairy homosexuals. So no, we can't expect ABC News or any other mainstream media outlet to tell the whole truth about the Provincetown outbreak. They have a habit of suppressing facts that don't support their preferred narrative, and yet seem perplexed that so few Americans trust them anymore. Well, they don't know to not trust unless they hear the facts, and that's why I wanted to take this segment, push the border news back, and talk about this, because you need to know. And this isn't the other Spectator I quote from so much. This is the American Spectator. So R. Emmett Terrell's piece, been out a long time, one of the standards along with National Review. The writer says the media have destroyed their own credibility, and as former President Trump said, they are now truly the enemy of the people. Folks, this is factual. They were talking and they didn't want to release the data, and they finally released the data after massive pressure as to what this little sample that had them concerned about masking was with the Delta variant, the India variant, and CDC, and they finally, at the end of the week, let it out. Well, most people just look at their banal and generic names on things. They had very little data. They even admitted in the week last week that it was tiny samplings that had them concerned. Did your reporters that you rely on TV, did they bother to look into those studies and to see where this data came from, where these various data points came from? No. Well, thankfully, Robert Stacy McCain and others did at the American Spectator, spectator.org. You can go read that piece. Because what this was about, one of the biggest sets of data they had on these shores to move on this was this Bear Week, this big homosexual orgy week in tiny Provincetown that followed the whole Pride Week stuff in New York City. That's what they took it from. Hardly the way people live in normal life. Talk about no social distancing and intimacy and everybody packed in and exchanging slobbers and everything else and worse. You need to know these things and the press won't tell you. And that's where democracy or a republic is in trouble. Washington Post, you bunch of frauds. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. I would love to have you join me at the 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 28th in Lubbock. The event's among the premier of its type in the country and put on by the Lubbock Sportsman's Club, the inaugural Dallas Safari Club chapter. Last year, the club awarded well over $100,000 to support hunting and wildlife conservation, all from funds generated at the annual event. To have a chance to win tickets at my table, enter at prattontexas.com. I'll award two pair to listeners. Each ticket's worth $100. Enter to win at prattontexas.com.